Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good middle of the night, good wherever you are on this beautiful planet listening to us tonight. And by us, I mean I am joined by my partner in crime, my brother, Reverend Onyx. How you doing, man?
I am doing fantabulous, and I wanted to let everybody know that I've learned, I saw tonight the word of the day. The word of the day is namaskre. Namaskre. The crazy in me honors and recognizes the crazy in you.
What do you think about that? I like it. I think that I will try to use that in a number of occasions. I think it's applicable to my whole day.
I can't say that's not true about mine either.
Yeah, we've had one more of a day during the day about. We've had several talks during the day about our crazy day. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. We do. here lately, it's one thing after the other. So it's fun. It keeps life interesting.
It does do that. And it's actually. We might actually come back and address this very conversation with our second question tonight.
I figured that we would because it does play right into it.
It certainly does. So how's things going with you down there? And I guess it's warmer down there.
Yeah, it's pretty nice down here. A little drizzly, but other than that, it's nice. It's just nice. Things are busy around here. The weather's nice. A little bit of liquid sunshine here and there. Well, the sun's out now, so it's even better. It's liquid moonshine.
Yeah, well, it is 39 degrees here, and it's just it's drizzly, and it's that kind of soaking, bone wearying kind of damn wet and cold.
It's one of those. Come on, if you're gonna rain, if you're not, don't, right?
Yeah,
make
exactly.
Up your mind. Are you going to rain or are you not? Is this really rain? You know,
precisely. And then the punchline to the whole damn thing is it's supposed to warm up tomorrow and have thunderstorms.
Good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of the whole punchline is that we get, we get some warmer weather. Well, sure, we'll give you some warmer weather and thunderstorms. Well,
we'll give you some.
That's just not even damn funny. So, anyway, let's see. Well, I was kind of worrying around. I think a couple of people texted and said they were having trouble getting in. So, kind of wavering for a moment.
Yeah, it's looking like what we're doing. It's looking like I'm sure you can see it too. But, we've got, besides you and I, there's two people in there. And usually it fills up a lot more than that. So hopefully we'll be able to get people in. And, if you're out there in radio land and you're having trouble getting in, then you might want to try to refresh the browser and then come on in. If all else fails, remember, and I don't have the number right in front of me, Terry, I'm sure you can. You can always call in to the CERN line and listen on your phone. If for some reason the weather's got your internet screwed up, just call in on the line.
Yeah.
And
in fact, my lady does that when she joins the shows or when she's listening in. Yeah, that's how,
what's that number? I don't have the number in front of me.
Okay, the number to call in and listen to the show or throw up a flag and say, hey, I want to talk, that number is 646-564-9714. You can call in and just listen, but if you hit the 1 button, it'll throw up a little flag in the switchboard and let us know you want to talk. And you can call in and join the show. Ask your question live, participate in the discussion. We got a few people that do that from time to time. So we'd love to have you call in and join the show.
Yeah, I actually have the number programmed into my phone so that some of the shows that are playing on the network that I want to listen to and I'm not at the computer, my phone hooks in by Bluetooth to the speakers in my car. So I'll go down the road and punch into the show and I can listen to the show, like when William's on or Friday nights when Robin and Lisa are on. And once in a while I'll listen to you, but, I get enough of you.
Yeah.
Lady Elizabeth on Sunday nights.
I've done a few shows from the car.
I remember.
We just geetered down. However we got to, we keep the show must go on. So
absolutely,
we will do our dead level best never to go dark. If we go dark night or quiet one night, it's because BTR croaked on us, because we gonna find a way.
That's it,
to get something up.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if memory serves me correctly, since we've been on the air since midsummer a year ago, we've only had one unexpected night that we went dark. Now, we planned a dark night one time, and that was Christmas Eve, I believe, of 2014. It was one of those, it was New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve. We planned a night to go dark so that all of our hosts could spend time with the family. But only one other time did we have to go dark, and that was not ours. That was, we tried our best to get in, and BTR just beat us down that night, and we couldn't do it.
That's going to happen. BTR is not always kind.
If I remember correctly, that was Lady Elizabeth's show. If I remember correctly, that was Lady Elizabeth's show, and that was the night, the first night that she had planned to have Mama Gnome on from Tea House of the Goddess. And it just, the technology just did not want to cooperate. We tried everything under the sun to try to get somebody in the deck to get the show launched out, and we just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
we finally wound up having to pull
the
plug. But you know, going back to that, it's not us.
Yeah.
If we're going to be dark, you'll know about it ahead of time, and it'll be because of something like a big family holiday or something like that, where we're trying to make sure that all our hosts have the time to spend with their family. We've only done that once since we've been on the air. So we're here. We're here seven nights a week.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, I think we've given everybody enough time. If they're gonna get past the technology, they'll make it in. If not, then they can catch up. Listen to it in the archives. Be a download listener. That's a good place too.
We've got plenty of places for that too. So.
Yeah. Our first question for the night is quite simple. Which deity should beginners focus on? That sounds like a good one. Take it away, partner.
Sure thing. Now, understand, first of all, that because paganism is an experiential religion, that there are no right or wrong answers. Well, let me say that back. There is only one right answer, and that's the one that speaks directly to you, because deity is going to come to you in the way that is best for you at the time. And you have to understand whether within yourself, whether your thoughts are you a hard polytheist, are you a soft polytheist, are you more universal in your thoughts about what deity or what God is. So me being a more universalist in my approach and more of a soft polytheist type in my theology, cosmology, what I would say is listen closely, look around. There is no one deity that is going to be better for everyone to focus on. Go into meditation, concentrate, think about it, pray, and listen. And whichever manifestation of the divine speaks to you will be the one that's right for you. It could be one of the numerous different faces of the divine throughout history, or it could be just a manifestation that you don't know a name for quite yet. Whatever way that the divine comes to you is the right way for you at the time, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to stay that way, because it may change over time.
Absolutely.
And you may come through and have different manifestations for the divine come through at different times, depending on what is the best for you at the time. Now, backing up, if you're a hard polytheist, and I define the difference there, soft polytheist, all gods are one God type theology, faces of the divine, the whole diamond concept, or as Terry brought forward in an earlier life of ours, more of a disco ball type idea instead of a diamond, which I really like. That's kind of the soft polytheist look at it. But if you're hard polytheist and you believe the gods are individual and in and of themselves, same thing applies. Absolutely same thing applies. What do we say all the time? Sit down, shut up, and listen. You know, pray.
All the time, I say it.
Pray. You will know. There is no one specific god or goddess or manifestation of the divine that is going to be right for every person. That's kind of my take on it. Just sit down and listen. You'll find it. They'll find you.
Yeah. Well, it's like we say in the meditations, the guided meditations we do on in the rituals. You know, enter a meditative state. Shameless plug, attend our full moon rituals. And take a guided meditation to the hilltop temple and meet the goddess. Attend one of our on-air Sabbat rituals and meet the god and the goddess. I mean, in some way, you know, we always say have no preconceived notion of how they will appear, but let them appear to you as is appropriate for you in that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, a light meditative state, some constructive visualization is an amazing way to find that connection to the divine, that entity with whom you wish to work. You know, and you know, Onyx is right. If you've got a very universalist approach, you might want to just work with an archetype as is appropriate during that time, you know, during your need. Or if you're looking for a particular pantheon. Now, I'm one of these people that I don't like to mix up pantheons too much in my working, and I'm very drawn to the two Hajaganam, the old Irish Celtic gods and goddesses. And that those stories resonated with me in a way that was profound and moving. And that's another brings up another point. Research. Read stories. Read the old stories. Read the stories of the Celtic gods, the Irish and the British Celtic gods, Norse, Egyptian, Roman, Greek, whatever. Find as many different stories as you can read and see what resonates with you. Because the answer is, as Onyx correctly pointed out in the first 15 seconds, the answer is within you. We don't have answers to these questions except to help guide you toward finding your own answers. It's not our job to give you the answers. It's our job to, lead you to the feed trough, and then you can figure out what you want to eat. But, read stories and meditate. And if you don't want to attend a guided meditation or, frankly, download one of our ritual episodes and do just the guided meditation portion of it, if that's what you need. Or you can sit quietly, get rid of all distractions, turn off the phone, put the kids to bed or something or whatever you need to do to get quiet. And sit with a candle and close your eyes and picture yourself in a place where you felt safe and happy. I always make a joke about going to my happy place. I now have a different place where I start my meditations. I start my meditations at that fountain that we talk about every full moon. But I used to have a place. I used to have a place that was on a rock outcropping overlooking a bend in a creek in the woods in West Georgia. And every time I went to that place, I felt peace. So I started all of my guided meditations, all of my personal visualizations, all of my journey work. I always started there. And, that's where my totem came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And has been with me since. So, these are the things that you want to look for, but you want to find some memory of some place where you always remember being at peace and happy and relaxed. And go to that place in your mind. See yourself there. And then, make it known through thought that's what you're there to meet, the spirit guide or the divine or whatever your intent. And the rest will take care of itself as long as you sit down, shut up, and listen. You might even want to say a prayer to the universal divine for guidance before you start. These are just a few of the ideas of ways that you can connect with and find that manifestation of the divine that, that comes to you and chooses you, because we don't choose, they do.
Yes.
But did I cover that pretty well, there, partner?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the people, one of the things that I tell those that I mentor, I ask them, how do you choose? I'll ask them, how do you choose your patron deity? That's kind of a loaded question. Because what I'm looking for is, you don't. They choose you. And that's exactly the way it goes. You just sit there. Right? I love that. Sit down, shut up, and listen. You know, pray. And the divine will come to you. And the divine will come to you in the best way that's for you. You know, and like you said, you know, the best way to prime yourself for that is knowledge, experience. Read those old stories. Read the mythology of every different culture, everything that you can get your hands on. Read. Experience those things inside yourself. And what that does is it gives, the more you know about the different, the classical examples of the classical faces of the divine, the more channels you're opening in your own mind, and even in your own subconscious for the divine to present through. The more you know, the more different faces that you see and you experience, you know, that gives the divine that many more avenues to come.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is you don't have to do all that. The most important thing is look inside. Look inside. The Charge of the Goddess talks about it. The Christian Bible talks about it. So many different theologies throughout history have said the same thing, that the answer is within. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within. The Charge of the Goddess talks about, you know, you're not going to find me if you don't look within. For I'm there. I've been there from the beginning. And I am that which is attained at the end of desire. So it's, you know, even some people believe that the Christian theology and the pagan theology is so different, and the trappings are different. But at the core, if you look at it, we're both saying that God is inside. Look inside. And that's where you'll find God, by whatever manifestation is best for you. But take it from the sages of old. Not just me. This is just Onyx talking. Take everything I say with a grain of salt. Hell, this is Onyx. Like I said, this is Onyx talking. He's the whole damn salt lake.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a salt lake. It's not a grain.
He's a salt lake when it comes to me. But
here's the problem. We're doing it again.
Yeah, we're agreeing. I got that. We're agreeing way too much. And people, maybe that's why we don't have too many people in the chat room tonight. It might not be the technology. It might be that we've been agreeing too much. So we got to find controversial one of these days.
Well, I think we can get controversial together though. Sometimes
this is true.
You brought up another point though. I wanted to touch on in our reading. I found it interesting that, you know, I grew up with the story, you know, the Greek and Roman, the classical story.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought that I would be drawn to that.
Mm-hmm.
But as I started reading stories, and I found, you know, as I said, I found myself drawn to the stories of the two Hadadanim. And I pondered and I wondered why these particular stories? What is it that resonates with me? And I realized somewhere somebody was talking about, you know, growing up in the South. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, you know, that upper middle class raising that I got in the South was really the last vestiges of that Southern Irish culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised with these ideals about right and wrong, hospitality, what were virtues, what were vices. And these stories suddenly started resonating with me, and then they got even deeper with that realization. And with the realization that this was the culture I was raised in, and all of those ideals, all of these stories, all the stories of all the gods that you ever read are telling you the ideal for life. They're all intended to teach us to be the best at whatever culture we're doing. So if you want to know the highest ideals of any culture, read their stories of their gods and goddesses. On the flip side, if you want to know their greatest fears, study their monsters.
That's it. Absolutely.
But that's another story for another time.
Absolutely. Now here's something that that kind of ties in too. It's something interesting that that I was discussing with someone not too long ago. Kind of ties in with it. And you talk about that southern raising, and anybody that has heard anything about that southern raising understands that hospitality is a big thing. It's also a very big thing in Celtic culture. But that's not just the only place that it's a very big thing. It plays a huge role even in the ancient Hebrew culture, because there is a common misconception that the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah had something to do with sex. It absolutely did not. It was the sin
of true.
Lack of hospitality. Lack of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back
and read it,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
That was the sin of
Jeff
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mistreated.
And that's a huge thing in the ancient, throughout the ancient world. It comes through, even the semi-modern world, the medieval world, on up through, the court standards and everything. It comes right on up through, and I'm sure there's other places in the world that it is. But where you and I are coming from, and that southern raising, hospitality is a big thing there. So that's a common.
Well, I mean, where's that? There was a legendary High King of Ireland was deposed because he was inhospitable to his guests.
Yes.
Same concept there. There's a lot of coolness in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we are at 27 minutes after the top of the hour. So let's go ahead and play a song.
Spin it for us, brother.
All right. We're going to listen to Antlered Crown and Standing Stone by Garth the Bard. Stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. we draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Listening to Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
I can't help but laugh every week. I love that music.
It is fun, that's for sure. It is fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, we got some seriously lively bumper music for our show. That's one of the cool things about being the two guys in charge. We get to pick all the cool stuff for ourselves.
That's it.
So anyway. All right, so our second question for the evening, following up, actually, with the earlier conversation about the days we've had, we have each had our days, and following up with the conversation about our relationship with the gods and choosing or being chosen, now the question comes to us, does anyone ever feel we are being tested every day by the gods? Cool question.
Okay. That's an excellent question. Excellent question. Which one of us is going to take a swipe at it first? You want me to go or you go?
Oh, you go ahead. You go ahead. I love hearing what you had to say.
Okay, well, in answer to the question, the way it is posed, does anybody ever feel like they're being tested by the gods every day? I can tell you from my own perspective, a resounding yes. However... However, I will also say that that is a human failing of mine. I do not feel like the gods are testing. Sometimes I feel like the gods are testing me. But when I sit down and think about it, I realize that that's not what's going on. What's going on is that a lot of things are happening around me that test my patience. That tries my troubleshooting skills, my problem solving skills, my decision making skills, things like that. The way I look at it has a whole lot to do with it. If I look at it like, oh, why are the gods doing this to me? I'm going to be in one state of mind, and very often I will tell you I am. But from a higher point of view, I try to be in the position to look at it like all troubles, no matter how large or insignificant they are nothing more than challenges. They're nothing more than opportunities to hone those skills. Take, for instance, everybody starts screaming about Mercury and retro, Merc retro. Oh, my goodness, you know, communication is going to get screwed up. All this is going to go on and everything. Well, the way I prefer to look at it is when Mercury goes retrograde, that gives me a perfect opportunity to hone my skills of communication. It gives me the chance to hone those skills. So is it a test? Yeah, sometimes I think it is. Sometimes I think the gods are testing me. In my lower times, in my more base times, in my more human times, which we all are, yes, I feel like, what in the world have I done to deserve all this? And I look at it from a bad point of view, like, oh my goodness, I'm getting tested, I'm getting trodden on, I'm getting beat up here. Why are they doing this to me? But when I am able to step out of it and look at it from a higher point of view, I say the same thing. What have I done
to deserve all these opportunities to expand my horizons and to hone my skills and to become a better person and to prove to people around me that I always choose the high road. So it's all about how you look at it. Life is challenging. You know, the only constant in the universe is change.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to change. Always change. That's the only thing we can count on, is that things are going to change. In the military, we have the, you know, people in the military have heard it. Improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
It's all about learning. Think of it as a school. Think of it as a school. If you go to school and you sit there and you're bored all day long, you're wasting your time. You're not doing a thing. You're not learning a thing. But if you go to class and your teacher is there challenging you constantly with new and exciting and different aspects of, you know, avenues to look at and different challenges to overcome and different problems to solve, you're learning. You're making the best of your time. So look at it like that in life. You know, if you look at the gods as being external, then look at it as like a teacher. You know, they're challenging you. They're helping you learn. If you look at the gods as being internal, same thing. If you look at yourself as, you know, if you're internally motivated and you see the divine is residing within, same thing. You're challenging yourself. It's the way you look at it. Am I being tested or am I being tested? Am I given the opportunity to overcome? Am I being given the opportunity to surpass? Am I given the opportunity to climb over these? Am I being given the opportunity to turn these stumbling blocks into stepping stones and reach a higher plateau? If I'm going to spend time here in this world, I would a lot rather it be productive toward bettering myself, you know, spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, all this. I would a lot rather it be spent bettering myself than to sit around and not have any challenges and just exist. I may as well be a rock.
Yeah.
I would much rather. Mm-hmm. But,
so, you know, my personal theology, and I've shared this a few times, and so many of the things that you said all kind of, you know, fit into what I believe. You know, I believe that we reincarnate for a reason. We have certain lessons that we're supposed to learn in each incarnation. Certain things that we are supposed to experience in each incarnation. And lessons to learn and obstacles to overcome. You talked about school. Well, I think of each incarnation as the classroom. And then we go to summer break on the other side and select the circumstances of our next incarnation to learn the lessons that we are, ready to, you know, learn them again, learn some more. So are we being tested? Testing is a strong word. Challenged, presented with opportunities for growth at every turn. And here's the cool part. Everybody ready for this? If we don't learn the lesson, we get to repeat it.
Yes.
So if we have an obstacle presented to us and we make the same decision every time and it turns out badly, perhaps the lesson is doing something different. Perhaps we are being given an opportunity repeatedly and often, and with great patience, because our concept of time and the divine concept of time, not even close. So, you know, so we can get presented with the same lesson over and over, and if we don't get it this time around, we may get it the next incarnation. So we need to find ways, if we see patterns in our life, if we see the same sort of obstacle being presented to us repeatedly, and we do the same thing every time, perhaps, just spitballing here, but perhaps we should try something we haven't tried before and see if that resolves the situation. And if we find a new way around the rock, then maybe we don't have to see that same rock again. That doesn't mean the opportunities for growth will cease, but life will be a little bit easier for a while once we learn the lesson. So that's kind of my personal theology. I don't think I'm tested in a negative way. I think I'm given several opportunities for growth, and I've got a break. I'm going to, take the opportunities when they arise and try to find the find the growth in them.
Yep. Well, you look at tests. Is it test is a good thing? Test is a good thing. Because it lets you know where you are. Make sense?
Say again.
I said testing is a good thing because it lets you know where you are.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And stretching ourselves, and testing our limits until someone or something slaps us down. There's always that opportunity too.
Yep.
Because there's always something bigger than badder than we are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's always something bigger and badder. Once you think you're the baddest, something's going to come along and prove you wrong. It inevitably happens. Because we are going to be challenged. Because, we're not going to grow if we're not challenged. The only way... I mean, you could use the analogy. Of physical training. If you think about it, if there is no resistance, there is no work. There's no improvement. Just think about it. I can sit here and flop my arm back and forth in a curl all day long, and I'm not going to get anywhere. Throw a dumbbell on it for resistance, and there you go. You have to work at it, but you get improvement. There's all kind of analogies there. So, we are tested. We are challenged, but that's a good thing. That's not a negative thing at all. But I will agree. I will absolutely agree. Some days, I look up. I'm used to looking up to speak to the divine. I get it. I understand that inside is the divine. But call it cultural habit. I look up and go, okay, little help here. What's going on?
I ask that one all the time.
What are you trying to get through to me? I'm not paying attention.
I'm obviously missing something here. So how about a divine instruction book fall from the sky and give me what it is I need to know today.
I'm kind of tired of beating my head against the wall here.
I'm talking about not beating my head against the wall, but beating my head against the rock in the middle of the road. What's the lesson? What's the trick for getting around or over or under or through this rock so that I can move on? Because, damn.
It's like one of those. Do you remember the old video games back in the day that I like to call pixel hunt games? You had this big screen and of different things on the screen, and it tells you go find this, and you have to search. It's almost like you have to mouse over
every pixel on the screen to find what you're looking for. You know what you're looking for, but it's not obvious. You can't get it. And it's, you, all you're doing is basically hunting for a single pixel on the entire screen. That's kind of what it feels like sometimes. I know what I'm trying to get to. I know what I'm trying to do, but I can't find the way to do it.
Yeah, needle in the haystack.
A little ridiculous. Yeah. All right, divine ones, throw me a bone here already.
Yeah.
Give me a clue. What's the lesson? What am I supposed to be learning here? But that's the way I feel sometimes. And other days, I revel in the challenge. It just really depends. It really depends on what state of mind I'm in. And I don't like, when I realize I'm in that frame of mind where I feel like I'm being tested and being ridden and being beat down by whatever source, the divine source or whatever environment, when I realize that I'm in that state of mind, I go, whoa, time out. It's time to back up and regroup. I got to rethink this. You know, and I find that a lot of times if I can realign the way I'm thinking and look at the challenge as just that, look at it as an opportunity to develop, a lot of times things work a lot easier for me. And even if they don't work easier for me, I can take it easier. I can accept it easier. Going, you know, in the end, because a lot of my theology, people who have listened to me for a while understand that a lot of my theology is hermetic based. Terry, in something that you wrote for a tradition, the Karelian Creed, you talk about the providence of the divine. That's hermetic based. In the end, everything will be okay. You just got to accept that. That's a fact. Everything works toward the eventual good. You may not see it right now. We may not see it in our everyday life. But in the grand scheme of things, everything will be okay. And if you understand that we are, if you understand that we are innately and we are intrinsically divine, and you realize that nothing, absolutely nothing, that can happen to us from within or without in this life can truly harm us in the end. Even if it takes our current life, that doesn't end us, because we are immortal. And one of the biggest lessons I ever learned, one of the biggest revelations that came to me, one of the largest paradigm shifts that ever happened to me, is when it clicked exactly what you're saying, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And in that moment, my fear of death went away. Absolutely went away. My fear of death left. Does that mean that I'm looking for death? No, I've got too much to do here. But I'm not afraid of it, because I know that the creature that I am, is immortal. And it cannot be destroyed. So even if I pass through the veil on this plane, that doesn't harm me in the end, because of the providence of the divine, which is, you know, hermetically based. So that is a huge relief when you get to that paradigm shift. That's a huge burden off of your shoulders. It was for me. Let me put it that way. It was for me.
Yeah.
When that rock was lifted from me, and I realized that nothing that happens to me can truly harm me, then that was a huge weight off of my shoulders. Now, there again, don't misinterpret that. I'm not looking for death, but I'm not afraid either. When it comes, it will come.
Yeah.
It will come in its own time. And I'm not going to do anything to speed
it
along.
I'm not going to hasten it coming, but
that's
yeah,
it. I'm not going to speed it along. But I'm not, you know, when it's time, it's time. So, yeah, let's just understand that. The providence of the divine. In the end, it will all be okay. learn your lessons here. Find out what it's all about. Look inside, because the divine resides within. Absolutely.
Yeah, the whole thing, like I said, and you're agreeing with, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We will pass from this incarnation in some period of linear time in and of itself a human construct. And we will pass over, and we will evaluate the lessons we've learned, we'll assimilate what we've learned in this incarnation, and then we'll choose the circumstances of our next incarnation. And we will come back and take another trip and have another human experience. I find often, though, that the vehicle by which the Holy Ones give me lessons are people.
Yeah.
people can make me crazy. And that tends to be where I get the my opportunities for growth. As you were saying earlier, opportunities to demonstrate to learn patience. Never, ever ask the Holy Ones for patience, because they will give you new opportunities to learn it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Like many fold. All at the same time, over and over and over.
Yeah,
I've been told that I have the patience of Job. I said, well, if you've been through the crap that I've been through, you would have too.
Yeah. And sometimes you just got to realize that everybody's doing the best they can.
Yes.
Yes.
And
I try to remember that because sometimes, no, that's okay, but sometimes when I'm dealing with like public servants, I try to remember that everybody has the job that they probably most deserve, at least in a lot of cases, and they're doing the best they can. And and that's where they end up. So anyway,
here's something radical. Here's something radical.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something radical to think about. And I'm going to say it. I'm just going to pause for a moment, then I'm going to explain what I mean. Okay? It is a firm belief of mine that no one does evil for evil's sake. No one does evil for evil's sake. And what I mean by that, people throw up to me all the time, well, what about people like Hitler or, the Hun or, all these people that have killed millions of people? Well, in their eyes, they were doing what they thought was the best. They were making the best choice from their point of view and in their mindset at the time. Think about it. Who would look at option A, B, and C and go, A's the better choice for me and for everything around me, but I'm going to choose C because it'll really screw everything up. They don't do that. They think whatever choice they make, they think is the right choice. Now, that doesn't play into their sanity, okay? They may be totally insane, but in their mind, they are making the best choice they can, given the circumstances and given the opportunities and given the data that's available. Nobody makes a bad choice on purpose.
I will agree with you to a point, but I will also say that there are people out there that make incredibly selfish choices with no regard for others.
But in their
mind, they're not making the best choice for others. They're making the best choice for themselves and themselves
exactly.
Only.
In their mind, they are making the best choice. That's, mm-hmm. Well, in our thoughts,
and in general societies. Here we go. We got to look at it from this point of view. In their mind, they are making the best choice possible. Now, what we define as evil, for anybody, it doesn't matter. In their mind, they're making the best choice possible. In their world and in their mind and in their mindset, they're making the best choice they can. Now, we can look at it from the outside and go, you know, dude, that was really screwed up. You know, that was a really selfish act. But in their mind, they're doing what's best. Do you follow what I'm getting at there? Now, I was like, there is no count for their sanity. But what I'm saying is nobody makes a bad choice intentionally knowing that it is a bad choice. In their mind, in their screwed up little mind, they think they're making the best choice.
Right.
It's like taking a test. Well, that may be their mindset, but in their mind, they're making the best choice available. Now, we can look at it and go, that's incredibly self-centered, and that might be agreed upon by everybody else in the world, except for that one person. That one person making the choice is choosing the best choice they have. Does that make sense? You're taking a math test.
I understand what you're saying.
You're taking a math test, okay? And you've got 2 plus 2 equals, and you've got three choices. 2 plus 2 equals 4, 2 plus 2 equals 5, 2 plus 2 equals 6. Nobody is going to go, well, I know that 2 plus 2 equals 4, but I'm going to choose 2 plus 2 equals 5 just because. Nobody does that. Now, they may put 2 plus 2 equals 5 because they think 2 plus 2 equals 5. And to them, that's the right choice at that point. We can look at that and say, no, dude, 2 plus 2 is not 5, it's 4. But in their mind, 2 plus 2 equals 5, and that's what they select. It's all about what they think is the best choice. Nobody chooses the wrong answer intentionally. It's a mistake they make from their own perception, from where we're looking at it, or other people are looking at it. But they're not choosing the bad choice on purpose. They're not saying, this is the wrong choice, therefore I am choosing it. They're saying, to me, this is the right choice, and the rest of us are looking at it going, dude, that was really messed up. But they think they made the right choice in that moment. Now, later they may be able to look back on it and go, you know, that was really screwed up. But in that moment, they always choose what they think in their mind, in their paradigm, in their universe, what they believe to be the right choice. Does that make sense?
I agree. I understand what you are saying. I disagree with a few of the concepts. I mean, that sometimes people do things because they know it's wrong. I think people do things sometimes because they are trying to cause trouble.
Okay.
And they know that it's wrong. They know that it's not the thing that they should be doing. They even know there's going to be consequences. But they do it anyway because, you know, they've got some, you know, mindset that says that I'm going to destroy shit and hurt people. But
if that's what they think is the right thing to do at that point, that would be the right choice for them at that moment in their mind.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one because I think there are truly evil people. I think that there are people that have, you know, something in their psyche is, you know, I don't believe in, you know, necessarily possession by demons because I'm not sure I quite believe in demons. Certainly not anything that's got time to come, you know, screw around with humans, or people for that matter. But I do think that there are people that are broken in so bad a way that they do know that what they're doing is wrong. They do know that what they're doing has consequences, bad consequences, either for themselves. And they choose to do these things, not because it's right, but because it is so wrong. And I don't see how, I just cannot agree with you that they make always the best choices. Now, do I believe that Hitler started off with you know, he made a bunch of bad choices that inevitably led to a great amount of evil? I cannot say for certain that he was evil or not evil. It's really not my place to judge anyway. And since I don't believe in any kind of eternal punishment, I think that we are faced on the other side with evaluating everything we've done, good and bad, in this incarnation, everything we've learned, and those things which we have failed to learn. And we are presented with all of this as part of the learning curve, part of the process of learning. But I do think that there are people that are so twisted that they can be defined as nothing but evil.
Here's a question for you.
And they know it.
Here's a question for you. I believe that the divine, I believe that there is no place in the universe that is not divine. I believe that every space between cells, every space between atoms, every space between protons or whatever, every space, there is no place in the universe that is not a part of God, to use a generic term. I believe that there is no place in the universe that is not a part of God. And I also believe in the providence of God, the providence of the divine, that God is ultimately good. So if I believe that there is no place in the universe that is not a part of God, and I believe that God is ultimately good, then I cannot believe in evil, because evil would not be good, and evil cannot exist because there is no place for it to exist, because everything is of God. Does that make sense?
Mm. It does, but I believe that we are sent, one of the purposes of each incarnation is so that we can experience everything that needs to be experienced.
I agree with you.
And that is the function of the physical. And therefore,
I can agree there.
Experiencing evil, experiencing these harmful things, is one experience that must be endured in some incarnation, whether it is now or another incarnation.
Okay. Do you define harm as evil or evil as harm?
Yes.
Is evil and harm synonymous?
Well, I believe that there is. Are you going to let me answer your question?
Sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, I believe that evil is part of the balance. We have to have a certain amount of evil to experience the light. We have to have a certain amount of evil to understand the beauty of good. There has to be fear to counterbalance love, to help us to understand it. Can it ever be completely defeated? I don't think so. I think it's part of the divine balance. And I don't see it as a failing. I see it as a balance. I think it's part of what we have to experience. And sometimes there are people that do evil things, and that's part of our lesson. And sometimes I think that there are people that are just truly sent into each incarnation to be the incarnation of that balancing evil. Now, do I believe that the divine manifests in all things? Absolutely. But I do believe that there is balance in the world, in the universe. And sometimes whether you want to define it as evil or use a different word for it, we may be down to semantics at this point. And in that case, then there is no resolution to this question, other than the fact that we disagree on the use of term. And I will concede that point, that we may simply be disagreeing on the terms and be saying the same thing. But I do believe that there are evil deeds that are done, and that sometimes the people that do them are sent here to be just that.
Go ahead. I thought you were done.
No, that's it. I'm done. You go ahead.
Okay. I don't define dark as evil. I absolutely agree that there has to be dark in order to define the light. I agree there. I do not define evil or dark as evil. I define dark as the opposite pole from light. I do not define harm as evil either. In my opinion, we may be down to semantics, absolutely. We may be. But evil, in my opinion, is the absence of good. And since I believe in the providence of the divine, and I believe that the divine is ultimately good, then I believe that there is no evil. But I will say that I agree that there is harm. I will say that I agree that all those negative virtues exist, or what would be considered, what would be the negative of the virtues, exist, absolutely. All those exist, but are they evil? No. They are challenges, and they are framings for us to grow through. Does that make sense?
Then we will have to.
Maybe we are talking about semantics. Maybe we are talking about semantics.
Because I think the wanton harming, wantonly causing harm, I believe is evil. Now we can debate the semantics of that all day, but I think that's where we come to an impasse, is in the semantics. I think we agree with the concepts, and I just choose to use the term evil because I believe that evil exists. I believe that wanton harm for the sake of nothing but causing harm is an act of evil. And I don't believe that evil is the absence of good or the absence of the God or the divine. So we're going to have to disagree on the concept, on the semantics, while we agree on the concept.
Okay, very well.
And with that, I'm going
to
ask
we had
you
to stir
for
it
final
up sometime.
Talk on the entire evening.
We had to stir it up. We had to stir it up.
Yeah,
we're going
we had
too
to
long
have something
agreeing.
To disagree about. It's been too long since we've argued a little bit. So, All right, well, go ahead and give some final thoughts on the entire evening and what we've discussed.
Sure thing. Bottom line is, when we're talking about, we opened up the show with the question, which deity to follow? Only you know that. Going back to the old standby, sit down, shut up, and listen. Pray. You'll find it, or they'll find you. Or he'll find you, she'll find you, it will find you. Whatever that manifestation is will come to you, and that's what's going to be best for you at that time. Do not think that it's not going to change, because it will change over time. When we talk about testing, do the gods test us? Do I feel like the gods test us? In my baser times, absolutely I do. But I like to believe that sometimes I can rise above that and realize that if I wasn't being challenged, I wouldn't grow. And that's what we're all about. And this last little fiasco of an argument here, I think that Terry and I agree on the concept, but we're arguing semantics. So, yeah, that's kind of my last thoughts.
And I'll go ahead, Terry, since we're over time, I'm going to go ahead and do my contact information and everything, and then just leave it to you to do yours and move on out. If you want to send email to me telling me how screwed up I am, it is revonicshp@ladyofthecircle.org. You can go to ladyofthecircle.org website, and you can find out more about me than you probably want to know. There's even a telephone number there. You can find out by going to the projects page on that website all the pies that I've got my dirty little fingers into. So, ladyofthecircle.org. I host here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Wednesday nights and Saturday nights. Soapbox Witch on Wednesday nights, LCO on BTR on Saturday nights. Soapbox Witch on Wednesday nights, LCO on BTR Saturday nights. So come out and listen. Let me know what you think. LCO on BTR, the Soapbox Switch, ladyofthecircle.org. Thank you so much for listening. Every single one of you out there are appreciated.
All right. And I want to thank everybody for being with us. And Onyx, I want to thank you. We have a great time on Thursday night. And it's always a good time, whether we're agreeing or not. We're always providing opportunities for thought. So that's always a good thing. So how to get in touch with me. Easiest way is to go to my public figure page on Facebook. That is RevTerryPowerHP. Follow me on Twitter at RevTerryPowerHP. If you want to try to find Robin and I and some of the projects we've got going on, you can find us at Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings, our Facebook page. Email is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And, of course, as Onyx has already said, you can email us at the station. Any host, panelist, anybody affiliated with the station, you can email us at surn.org@gmail.com. So final thoughts on the evening. Gosh, I'm starting to feel like a broken record. But maybe it just needs to be said every week. All of these questions, it just seems like we keep coming back to essentially the same answer. And that is that you need to ask the divine and then listen. You know, as we've joked before, I mean, there was when I was on a previous radio show, back on some other network, we were going to have my motto. Actually, we're going to translate it into Latin and have basically sit down, shut up, and listen. It's just it all comes from the divine. Wherever that divine is for you, whether it's within or without, all you have to do is ask and listen. So, one other thing that I am being reminded to mention. We were talking about it in the chat room, but we didn't say it out loud. Robin and I will be speaking and teaching three classes at the Florida Pagan Gathering over Beltane weekend. We teach on Thursday the 30th. On Friday and Saturday, and then the final ritual, the big Beltane ritual, is on Saturday afternoon sometime. They've not finalized the schedule. And we will be doing a live broadcast 3 weeks from tonight, I believe it is, on the 30th, from Florida Pagan Gathering. I just got word that those arrangements have been finalized, and we will be doing a live broadcast 3 weeks from tonight. That is the 30th of April. So if you can't make it down there, I mean, if you're in Georgia, Florida, Alabama, hell, North to South Carolina, just come on down. We're going to be flying down. So I mean, we're all the way up in Pennsylvania, so just come on down. It's going to be a great time. Several headliners are going to be there. Raven and why am I drawing a blank? Stephanie, I think it is. Stephanie Grimasi are going to be there. Evo Dominguez is going to be there, and Dragon Ritual drummers. And so it's going to be a great weekend. And of course, Robin and I are going to be there. So, you know, there it is. So anyway, come on down and see us in person. It'll be great to meet some of the listeners. And if you can't make it down there, listen in on Thursday night, the 30th, 3 weeks from tonight. And we will be doing a live broadcast, a live remote from the Florida Pagan Gathering. So with all of that said, again, thank you to everyone that has been here tonight. Thanks especially to my brother and partner in crime. Always a good time when we get together, and I love Thursday night shows. It's one of my favorites. So, I think I'm done. So with that, I'm just going to say to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Good night, everyone. Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.